nicely done. Højlund! Oh yes, he must score, surely! They have! Jamie Højlund has done it!
Oh, the fucking drop from Kane Pinkney!
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Mighty Shakers podcast, where everybody is welcome to listen, even the weatherman. We'll kick off this week by having a quick recap of our previous three games, which feel like quite a while ago now, the break that we've had and a couple of postponements. So myself here, Dan, and we've got Will and Tom. Last three games, guys, what do you think? We can probably flash over them quite quickly, maybe talk about the last two. But Earlham, 1-0 defeat, Barnoldswick defeat, and also the draw with Charnock Richard.
For me, I think probably the draw was probably the worst of the three. I thought we were really poor against Charnock, just creating things as well. The Earlham game, I thought we created a lot of chances, could not hit a barn door. We could have played all day, I think, in that. Barnoldswick, I think we threw it away, didn't we? We got that goal and then we just switched off. A couple of mistakes, wasn't it? But we just didn't seem to be our usual selves in either of those three games for me, which was the concerning thing. But I've got some thoughts about moving on in the future, but I think those three games recap. Or we can do better, but I think McNabb's off the field, what he said, kind of summed it up.
We were owed one sort of bad performance because we're on such a brilliant run. You can't sort of discount that. And we're obviously playing a bit of catch-up with poor form earlier on in the season where you think we really can only afford to lose maybe three or four games for the whole rest of the season. We are at the absolute limit now, aren't we? Earlham was disappointing, but get on with it. It's a one-off. Barnoldswick, how many chances did we have? It's just utterly ridiculous. Yeah. I just don't know what you could do if you're Dave McNabb. I know some people are saying perhaps Burns shouldn't have been playing up front and he missed loads of chances, but he did score the goal. He did play well in his other build-up play. Even him, I mean, it wasn't just him, was it? How many chances did we miss in that game? So I think that was unlucky. As you said, Will, I think the draw was the worst performance of those three. We just didn't really get going. We were terrible in the first half. The pitch didn't help, of course. In the second half, we just about did enough to get a point. So at the end of the game, I was actually really happy because it stopped the rot of the two defeats. We got a point despite playing pretty awful. I mean, that's the worst I've seen us play since Dave took over as manager. Now we've had this massive spell of not playing a game. Let's hope that's a good thing, because I know obviously we've just been watching all the results pour in, haven't we? With the Withenshaws come in. So it's been really a very odd last couple of weeks for Bury fans.
I agree. I think Charnock Richard have sort of become a bit of a bogey team for us, haven't they? Maybe it was written for us to get that draw like that. Barnoldswick, I mean, we should have had a couple, I think, before we ended up scoring. But then the goal that they scored, the first one, I think it was uncharacteristic from Pete to sort of leave a free man in the box. I think he had a bad couple of games, but I think that's going to change with the new shape, but we'll probably talk about it later on. The other goal was just ridiculous, wasn't it? Like the free kick that he gave against us, and then they score straight from the free kick for Harry Wright touching the ball twice.
Yeah, it was a shambles, wasn't it? But I think with us, you know, I think when a result hasn't gone our way this season, especially since when McNabb's come in, we've kind of finished and went, we created chances, don't worry about it. I think the Earlham game, we did create chances. The Charnock game, which we drew 2-2, it was bad. I think the Earlham game, we had a lot of chances from miles away. I remember Daniels, he took one not far from the end of the game, actually, probably like last 10 minutes, and it like come over to him. And he was stood on like the corner of the box and he just drilled it and it went miles wide. And it was just that 2 weeks prior, I don't think he would have done it. I think a bit of pressure is telling. And like you said, this division, as soon as you don't get a win, it seems at the minute everybody else around you does. So it's tough.
Yeah, we've obviously been very well. We're very good, haven't we, and consistent under McNabb. But the other two Withenshaws have as well, haven't they? Like since Withenshaw Town signed, the striker they signed, George Boyd.
George Boyd.
Yeah, Boyd, yeah.
He was just scoring all the time, wasn't he? And they just started to pick up. And with Inshaw as well, the same. They're just consistent. The first, when they got beat, I was surprised they got beat off Cheadle, even if it was a late goal. But they've just been so consistent as well. And they, like you said, there's just no let up. And it's just a shame that we've just had, we've only picked up one point in three games there. And do you think, I know the behind closed doors is going to come into it, but do you think if we'd had a crowd there, those would have picked up more points there?
Probably in the Charnock Richard game, I don't know. We somehow rallied and got as much as we possibly could, given the performance. So I think it was more, would we have started better? I think that's the key. We reacted well to the goals, to be fair, but it's that crucial opening 10 minutes where no one was in the game. It wasn't, you know, Charnock Richard hadn't really got into the ascendancy until after they scored. If we'd have scored first, it's a completely different game. In the other one at night, you'd have to ask the players, wouldn't you? Because for us, it's frustrating. At least that one, you know, we've had the live stream going for both the games, and there was a real feel that everyone at home was cheering us on, or in the bars or whatever. So I think the players probably knew that there were lots of people. And ironically, probably more people were watching, given it was a live stream, because there have been thousands able to watch from abroad as well and down the length and breadth of the country. But no, I think when you've got that pitch, no fans, no atmosphere, you know, that's the whole point of going back to Gig Lane. You know, you want to be in your home, you want to be in front of your fans. So it's a real kick in the teeth. And yeah, I'm sure we're all still fuming about those decisions even now. And we just hope it doesn't cost us. You know, we've already shot ourselves in the foot a bit with these points deductions. That is another kick in the teeth in terms of giving ourselves a much more difficult chance to go up than we needed to. Yeah, you just worry that there are more things coming, because it just seems to be that everything's going against us. We're pretty unpopular. Any excuse to sort of give us points deductions, fines. And the fans are the ones who are suffering, aren't they, as well as
the players. It's the very way, isn't it? We never do things the easy way. Ever. And I think, you just summed it up there. Whatever... possibly, if you think in the terms of football, whatever could have possibly gone wrong this season, if you would have said at the beginning of the season, we're playing two games behind closed doors, we're getting deducted points, our first game of the season is going to be void, you know, you couldn't write it. It's Netflix documentary stuff, isn't it?
Especially because you think there should be some goodwill towards us. I thought people felt sorry for us when we were kicked out of the league. We've not had anything, have we? No sympathy whatsoever. And these are all new punishments. We've never had to play a game behind closed doors before, as far as I'm aware. You know, we'll probably talk about the pitch later, but we've never known a situation where the whole pitch is at threat. Where is it playable at all for the rest of the season? So these are
the wettest years
we've faced in a season, I think, on the pitch.
Feels like quite a while ago, like we said about those games. But obviously, the charges that were brought to us by the Manchester FA for the incident at the West Indian Charlton game, which we were punished with a two-game stadium ban, and the appeal was obviously failed, and we had those games behind closed doors, the Banelswick and Charnock Richard. What were your thoughts on the whole of that? To me, it was just ridiculous, the punishment. I don't know of any other UK teams who have had a stadium ban. I've seen a lot worse on TV from especially from Premier League clubs for things like racism, general aggressive behaviour, fighting and so on. Doesn't seem to ever get picked up, or they just get given a fine. And that's that. Just ridiculous to me.
It's a succession of events and incidents and alleged incidents over 2018, right? Yeah, so
yeah.
It means it's in the days before we were expelled, and counting AFC's offences as well. Again, no slight given. Well, this is a fresh start. This is a new team. This is a different setup, different leadership, different people in charge at the time. You know, we weren't given any leeway by the FA in terms of helping us come back from 2019. For some reason, they'll say, oh, no, well, we'll include the bad bits that you had before 2019, include them on the rap sheet. We seem to be unpopular with the FA and these clubs. But yeah, it's very disappointing. I don't know what has gone on behind the scenes, other than obviously Armin of this parish has tried to help out. But it might seem that was a bit after the fact, wasn't it? Because I think by then, the club had already pleaded guilty to these charges. So it was the West Didsbury game, wasn't it? The home game. That was one of the main incidents, of course, that has led to the two game behind closed doors ban. But I mean, if that was just on its own, we wouldn't have got it, would we? I don't think that would have been the punishment. But like you say, Dan, I've never known any football team to be punished this way. It's almost as if we've, you know, in the 80s in Europe, where the British fans were behaving appallingly, it's like that kind of sanction. Yeah. Or you sometimes see it now, don't you, in the Champions League, where there's been some like racist abuse and they have said you have to play your next game behind closed doors. That's the kind of level of how bad it should be in terms of me to stop fans coming in. There's no way that these two games should have been played behind closed doors, despite the even if the history is taken into account. The fines obviously hit us hard. That would have been a more sensible thing, you would have thought. This is pleading guilty, assuming that we would be given leeway or some kind of credit for a guilty plea, as it were. But absolutely none has been given. I don't think it could have been a harsher punishment, could it?
My only worry was that normally, you know, when you see like footballers get a red card and then you appeal it and then they end up getting an extra game. That was what my worry was, is that now because we're appealing the punishment that we've been dealt out, that we'll end up with a third game ban. But thankfully we haven't.
So,
the way I see it, you know, with the two games behind closed doors, they've been technically fined a tier 19, £50,000, give or take. Attendances, attendance money, beer money, revenue coming in. So technically £50,000. So that's roughly going off, here's my maths, going off this now. So saying they've fined a tier 19, £50,000. If it was, say, Manchester City, that's the equivalent of £100 million fine.
My
which, it just doesn't add up. Like, it doesn't equate to the level of football you're at. I'm not defending if it's been said or not been said. I know it's all alleged at the minute. And obviously, if it's clear as day, it's guilty and take it on the chin. However, if it's not clear as day, you're not guilty. You say you're not guilty until it's proven. But I think the FA, for that fine and then the punishment, just doesn't make any sense to me. And like you said, it's not even in comparison to, I know it's more for us because of the size of the club we are at this level, but it's not, you can't compare it, can you, to the fines that go on in the Premier League now or even European football?
If, say, the court case was either dropped or the individuals are found not guilty, where does that leave us? we can't have the game back, can we?
Yeah, the charges have been dropped anyway.
Yeah. Well, not all of them. I think the aggravated, I think, are part of it.
Yeah, I think got a public order offence, or they were going to give him a public order offence, but I still don't think he'd be charged. And I think it's likely that he might not get anything charged. And in the meantime, I understand that it's different, like criminal court and things like that, like different. Yeah. It's just, to me, it's just ridiculous. I feel like the club shouldn't have been pleading guilty to something that was alleged. I feel like they got thrown under the bus massively. Basically just said that it was two fans who had done this. Every time it had been mentioned, it was that's what's happened. And then the first charge that came out in the report was that we've been charged because the club failed to ensure spectators and or supporters conducted themselves in an orderly fashion while attending the match. So basically it's been reported, nothing's been done about it, and it's obviously continued. People have a beer. It was a game where it was sort of end-to-end, wasn't it? Like, we were scoring, they were scoring, so tensions are going to be high. And that's just not been dealt with, and that's the main charge that's on there. So that wasn't communicated at any point to me. I didn't understand that it was from the club. So I think that's where they've just been thrown under the bus a little bit. And I'll say that for myself anyway. A
couple of weeks ago, I was asked to mention by Andrea an initiative that's going on at the minute throughout the club. And it's the Too Big For Your Boots initiative. So they're asking for any old football boots, trainers, Astra boots, things like that, to donate them to the club. And basically they're going to try and get people in sport using them.
Yeah, I think it's a good initiative. I was at the Bury Rec last week, donated some of my size 13s, which someone told me it was for kids only at first. So I thought, this is pointless. Although I think I did have size 12 feet when I was at school or something. So I'm sure somebody will benefit, even if it's in a few years' time. But I think it's a good initiative. Anything that we could do like that. Leechy, about time you hung your boots up. So I'm sure they could do a couple of pairs going that way.
I'll sign mine. I'll get a few more good for them. But the donation times are the 8th of April until the Friday the 19th of April from the FGRS Community Hub. So get them in.
Also, just a note for fans, just to say that the quiz at Gig Lane has been moved to the 18th of April, as the original date is now being used for the Ramsbottom game at home, I think, on that Thursday night. It's been moved to. So the quiz at Gig Lane will be on the 18th of April instead.
This is Nicky Dawes. You're listening to the Mighty Shakers podcast.
So the Q&A with Neil Sears went out last week, I think, didn't it? What were your thoughts on that? Obviously, it was good to see him in front of the camera and getting some of his thoughts on that. Obviously, we've already just discussed about the charge and things, but I think it was the first time that it was mentioned by anybody at the club about the previous charges that obviously were part of that appeal that we had. So that was good. But what were your guys' thoughts on him?
To be honest, I thought he came across really well, to be honest. Been banging the drum for communication for the club for ages now, and I think what he's doing, especially talking about it doing monthly, step in the right direction. They've sent out an email now, haven't they, to get questions over for him. So I think potentially the next one, because I didn't read my emails properly and missed the question bit emailing in, potentially the next one, a bit more of a chance to get questions in, and I think as long as he answers them and the club are transparent, then all good, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a welcome interview. Obviously, there's been a few complications in terms of what the role is, because I remember meeting Neil, I think it was the West Isbury Charlton away game, where he introduced himself to me, came across really well, had a good chat with him about what happened, you know, how we were going forward as a club. That stage, he was the secretary, because we had a new secretary, a chain of secretary, and obviously with his qualifications and everything, he does seem like a good candidate. I know I've heard a few people say, well, we wanted a Bury fan. I'm not sure that's relevant at all. You know, you want someone who's dispassionate, can have some of these things thrown to one side. Where there's a bit of politics and things, they can put them to one side and think what's best for the club in a business sense. The club does need a guiding hand in sensitively deal with these issues as a fan base. As we've already discussed on this episode, who could have such a big in-tray to start with? I mean, the amount of stuff that's going on, the punishments, the pitch, the squad. I just hope that he's able to settle in well, and people support him, and that he supports the manager going forward as we hopefully get promoted.
Yeah, I agree. It's good to have somebody in front of the camera, so to speak, and just having that face to the name. Hopefully, once we're having a monthly and people can ask questions, and hopefully some of there'll be tricky questions, won't there? There's always going to be arsey questions, but there'll be tricky questions, and hopefully all questions will get answered at least to a decent level, and hopefully it's just going to help us with the structure and hopefully, like Tom said, as we grow and hopefully go into the next division and the next division. So yeah, positive hire, I think, and we'll just have to see how it goes. We're coming to the end of the season now, so big time for us.
There's a group called Shakers Together which started in the last couple of months maybe, which as far as I'm aware is trying to bring unity between the fan base, wants to get a bit more fan representation in terms of what's going on behind the scenes. I know that's something we've said before, that communication hasn't been its best, and sometimes we've had to wait long periods before we found out, for instance, what the procedure is on refunds and things like this most recently. This seems to be a good group that's been set up mainly on Facebook, but I know that they did a survey people on that group could respond to, and I think they had maybe 350 people respond to it, and the results were tabulated. So it's quite a sizable proportion of the fan base. If you think maybe there's 2,500 diehards, that's a decent whack. And this was in February, so they were asking various questions about the boards, about value for money, about the membership. The results were formulated in terms of all answers, members and non-members and things like this. Because I'm certainly one that's thinking, yes, members are the key people who drive decisions forward and put people on the boards, but we need to do more to reach out to the disenfranchised and try and get more people members. And of course, that's more money to the club as well, so that can only be a good thing. But yes, yeah, so they put them into a few categories. So in terms of the results, things to encourage by, the majority of respondents feel that the volunteers are united and that their experience of Bury being fan-owned is positive, so that's good. Then things to improve, more than people are not think that the boards are not united. Well, that's my own personal view. That's definitely true, because, of course, Matt Barker was on this podcast, wasn't he, saying how he's desperately trying to get the board to meet the benefactors. And I don't know where that's up to. Personally, I don't know what the latest on that is, but we haven't heard anything official yet. Less than 50% think that they're getting value for money with the membership. That's not great. 60 quid, isn't it? Or 5 quid a month. When I was on the board for the, you know, the old Bury FC Supporters Society, I kept saying the best way to advertise things like this is that, well, you know, we bought the ground. If you're a member, you're effectively a part owner of Gig Lane. So, of course, it's good value for money. I know everyone gets a little bit annoyed sometimes and say, all we can do is vote for the board and vote for the kit. And that was based on preordained colours, wasn't it? A fan-owned club has to have a revenue stream other than tickets, and it has to have a membership fee. And I think the FSA deems 60 quid is normal, isn't it? I think that's pretty much widespread. Can be more expensive. So in terms of this, yeah, less than 50% thought that it was value for money. Less than 50% thought that the fans are united, that the volunteers are completely united. Some of those are could either answer completely or to some extent. So these are the ones where we can improve upon, because less than half said they weren't completely in agreement with those things about the board, about the fans, the volunteers. One of the main things that pretty much everyone seemed to think was a good idea was to have and organise a fans forum with the board and the benefactors. I think this group, Shakers Together, would say they'd facilitate it. And as I understand, they have invited them to do that. I'm hoping that's going to happen. I'm hoping that's something positive to look forward to. We still haven't had an AGM that I know there's one a couple of days before Christmas, wasn't there, from the board on Zoom. We haven't had a proper open forum like we used to, you know, in the days where pre-2019, basically, there were loads of... Well, you had to have one AGM per year, and that was always in person. I know the rules have changed on that, but I do think it's better to have it in person. The opposition to that would be, oh, the supporters could kick off and it'll just be the same people saying the same thing. Well, call the bluff. Show these people up to be troublemakers, and let's just hear something positive, because surely we're in a good position overall, long-term as a club. There's lots of things to sell. There's lots of things to be positive about. So I'm hopeful that can happen. I'm hopeful that can happen. It's a shame that the board haven't done it themselves, you know, and it's taken a group like this to put pressure on it. It's not, you know, they might not agree to it. Who knows? So that was quite an interesting thing I just thought I'd raise. I do think that group is good. I think it's trying to be positive and trying to get fans' voices heard. And what are their concerns? What do they like? You know, what have they enjoyed so far this season? It's not all negative, as far as I'm aware. It's just a voice for fans where everyone can be welcome, really. Unless you're being abusive, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on there because we were approached to close, I think, various of the Facebook groups and just make into one. So we closed the podcast group, didn't we? So I was made an admin on there. Not that there's much that I do. Deleted a couple of dodgy posts and things that people are putting on there being divisive or whatever, and comments that have been reported. But yeah, I think it can only be good, can't it? And I think people often moan about people moaning or say that you can't ask questions and that sort of thing. But then it takes that to get a response sometimes for things like people coming onto the podcast and asking questions, or people asking questions on Twitter to try and get answers. And I know sometimes it can come from the wrong people, the wrong voice, and then so it doesn't get listened to, or the answer is just not believed. So it can be tricky. So hopefully, if we can have more things like the board and benefactors meeting, not that we should be having to basically arrange for them to meet, be able to questions, but anything like that can only be a positive. And I think a club of our size in this division, like, there's so much potential for us to just be progressing and doing things the right way that we never did previously in League One and League Two, essentially starting from scratch, owning the ground and everything like that. There's so much potential for it. We just need to be pulling together in one direction to do so.
You know, in my opinion, it shouldn't even be an issue, should it? You know, your club's back for the first season. Just get on and get on with it. And the only thing that people should potentially be falling out about and disagreeing with is what's happening on the pitch. Like, every football team in the country. It overshadows what's going on the pitch sometimes. But when you're at the ground and people are together face to face, like you just mentioned, Tom, you don't really hear any of it, see any of it. Everyone gets on. And I think, me personally, I think face to face is the way to go. If people want to turn up and act like children and be ridiculous, then I think they just don't come again. And I think that's the way you've got to do it. You've got to give people the opportunity that want to ask those questions, want to see the board members, want to meet the board members, an opportunity to do so.
Looking ahead to Saturday, fingers crossed, take on Withenshaw. But obviously, part of the preparation was the third behind closed doors game, which I had the privilege of going to because somebody on the Stockport side, a friend of a friend, sort of told me that there's a game going on there. So snuck down there to watch that one against Stockport Town. We played well, to be fair. First half, we were a bit slower. I think we had a stronger team second half. I won't go too much into the details of the lineups and everything like that in case there's anybody from Withenshaw listening. I should have said at the start, actually, the podcast, everybody's welcome to listen apart from Withenshaw. And then I could give all the details.
Their manager is a massive fan of this podcast.
Big time. Don't blame him. But yeah, the second half, we played well. But obviously we had Max Harrop played and he was good, scored a good goal, scored an absolute rocket header, to be fair to him, for a small lad. Burns.
Back from centre-back as well, eh?
I got a bit excited about that the night. It was a good one though. Yeah, Burns scored as well. He scored the opener. Holland Wilkinson scored as well. So he had a go up front rather than a full-back, wing-back that he's been playing most recently. He scored a good goal. So it was all positive, I thought. Definitely after watching the last three games that we've had, which we've already discussed, but it definitely seemed a lot better. And they were a decent side, to be fair. I think second half, they ran out of steam a little bit, but they're second in the division below. So it was a good run out. We swapped lineups at half-time. So we had 11 fresh men, pretty much 10 or 11. So it was good. It was positive going into Saturday anyway, which is the topic of conversation. With the postponements, it is second versus third now, isn't it?
It's 6 points, isn't it? It's a massive 6-pointer.
Yeah. How many times has this game been postponed now and at risk of a third one, fourth one maybe?
Fourth, isn't it? Yeah. I desperately want it to be on. Looking at that pitch for the pitch today, I'm not got much hope, but I'm desperate to watch them. I am, but I still think we'll win the league. I've been banging that drum all season, but I still think we'll do it. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think we'll edge it. 2-1, I'm going for.
I saw somebody went over to the Rams. They play Rams bottom, I think it was. They sort of said that they weren't that good and they'd got lucky with a couple of goals. So that gave me a bit of confidence. Obviously, they have been winning games, so you can't take that away from them, but I'm hoping that we just go and do it. We've definitely been better when we've been chasing, I think. When we've went ahead, we've slowed down a little bit, but when we've had to chase, I feel like we get the fire up us then. First half performances, generally, we tend to be quite poor at first half and then we come out flying at second half, and I feel like maybe that's how we translate into the sort of league position as well. When we need to chase and we need to pick it up, then we just do it, fingers crossed.
You're absolutely right. So many games, particularly at home, we just haven't done enough in the first half. Luckily, or due to the nature of the team, give them credit, they have always come back in the second half and scored a lot of goals in those last periods, which is always a better way around, isn't it? I think if you can come back in a game late on, you know you can do that. That's great. But yeah, just looking at the table, we're 3 points behind Withenshaw. Obviously, same games played now. The goal difference is 4 worse. So we're going to have to beat them by 2 goals then, aren't we, to go above them. And obviously, more twists and turns than just Saturday. And then Withenshaw are 5 points above us, but we've got 2 games in hand. So as we keep saying, it's still in our own hands. If that game can be on, it will be colossal. You know, we're hearing that the south stand and the main stand are sold out. You can see that the fans are up for it. The fans know how important it is. They've just waited so long to watch football. You know, I've been lucky. I went to, obviously, the Charnock Richard game as commentary. Say lucky, it wasn't the best game, but at least I was allowed in the ground. You know, 99% of the fans weren't. So they must be, I mean, you guys must be feeling it. It's not been great, has it? So the atmosphere, if it goes on Saturday, will be the best I think it's been since the opening game of the season. We will do enough to win. And I think then it's really, just think how good the mood will be then. Even if Withenshaw Town win, we'll be on top of the world, and I think we'll do it then.
2 bits of information just while you've been talking, Tom. Just as we've said, the club have literally just tweeted saying there's a pitch inspection booked in for Saturday morning.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Literally just as you were talking, mate. I think that probably tells you the state of the pitch and what's going to be happening.
It doesn't look good, does it? people were saying about the forecast is drying and things like that, but I think the damage is already done to the pitch with the continuous rain that we've had, and then over the last couple of days as well, and having to re-turf parts of it just doesn't look good, does it? But it's just the effect that it has on afterwards, because I think that's going to, if that gets postponed, it's likely that we're going to play that game second to last game of the season before we play Ramsbottom. So it could be on like that Wednesday before the last game of the season, which either massive, then it's huge then, isn't it? If it comes down to the wire, then we'd have to really fill the ground.
And second bit of news, which I mentioned beginning of when we were recording tonight, it's come out that Jordan Butterworth, Benito Lowe and Sam Burns have left the club. So Benito's gone on 28-day loan to Sabres Celtic. Butterworth has gone with him, except that's a dual reg. And Sam Burns has gone to Rylands on a dual reg. What do you make of that?
I'm a massive Benito Lowe fan. I think he's incredibly talented. He's a talisman. He can put a lot of the heat in a match on himself. If you're sort of down and out and you need somebody to come up with a goal, he's not going to feel the pressure. He's going to get on with it. And I think we can't forget the amount of times he got us out of jail, particularly in the first half of the season. Late goals, penalties, really good work ethic and everything on the pitch. I understand some fans have already seemed to have forgotten that and just judged him on the last few 2 months, which he hasn't been at his best, but he's been recovering from injury. He's been in and out of the side. He's not really played as an out-and-out striker much in that time. As far as the statement from David Nabb says, it is to try and get some game time, but personally, you think it's not good, is it? I'm not sure we'll see him play again, sadly, for Bury. I think in the summer he might be off because we could get some money for him. And obviously that incident with the sin bin didn't help things, did it, in the last game? I know that's only one game or 10 minutes of a game, but that really could have cost us an awful lot. You hear things behind the scenes, don't you? When Dave McNabb did that fans forum, the Q&A, he said sometimes there are things you don't know about. There are other reasons, you know, there's people are being late for training. I'm not saying that's the case with him, because of course we've had Holland Wilkinson not in the team, and I think that's been costly for our form. So there's more to it than just, oh, the manager doesn't like him or doesn't fancy him. I think with Butterworth, I can understand. With greatest respect to him, he is expendable. You know, we do have other players who can fill in his position, and he himself has been filling in, hasn't he, a lot of the season. I think he's a good, solid player. He might come back, of course. And then Burns, I think Burns is the biggest surprise for me, because the manager loves him. He's been a regular, gone back into the side after he lost his place when he got injured. Yeah, he seems to be doing okay. I don't know whether it is something to do with his being closer to home. Obviously, Warrington is nearer where most of the lads live in Liverpool, and it's Dave McNabb's old team, of course, isn't it? So, yeah, that might be more personal. I just hope we can keep a settled team, because that squad was settled and they were winning. Now there's going to be a lot of changes. Let's see what happens. But trust in Dave. Trust the process, as they say.
Yeah. I think Burns, he's a really good player, isn't he? Obviously, there's chances that he's missed. And I think he gets a lot of slack for that. For those chances that he missed. But then there's games where Isle of Man, he scored twice.
Yeah. Great goal.
Yeah, he was fantastic in Isle of Man.
Yeah, exactly. So there's always those games where he has been great, and I think he's a really good player. So I think that's a loss. But obviously, whatever the plans are that we've got now for the team, either doesn't fit into him or whatever that is. I think I know it's deadline day now, but I think it's bold from the manager to let three players go like that. No, two are on dual reg and one's on loan. But I think it's bold, isn't it? But we've got to back him. I think he's done no wrong so far. We've had some bad results, but every manager has bad results. But how consistent we've been in between those periods, once we break that duck after the bad form, we tend to fly on again then. So hopefully that'll happen now. Benito's a shame. I completely agree that he's sort of lost his way when McNabb's come in. And it's no fault of like McNabb pushing him out or anything like that. It's just been the injuries and things like that, suspension and those sort of things that have just not helped him, I think, coming back in, system change, so he wasn't playing up front. Obviously, in the meantime, we were strikeless, weren't we, basically? So we signed Daniels and so on. Hopefully, we do see him back. Like you said, obviously, a great player, and in those moments, he's really helped us. It is a bit fiery, and you often see him arguing and things like that. And like the sin bin, he's going to get himself into trouble. And I've watched him, and I always thought, what's he doing? When he's like that, he's so much better. Like the Liverland game, he was at it all game, and I thought, he's and he missed some chance, and I thought he's not going to score it, and he was arguing with the centre half, and then he went and scored twice and we won the game, didn't we? So I think he's better playing on the edge. But obviously, I mean, he's only been sin binned once this season, so as much as he may have a bit of a reputation for that, it's only been once and maybe a few bookings or whatever, but I think he needs that edge to his game, and hopefully he does come back like the statement says, and we see him back next season, because obviously he's obviously got quality.
Brief losses to the club. I really like Benito. He's a game winner. Proper handful. Can be a liability at times, but you take it on the chin because he can win you the game. I know you mentioned previous in the season about struggling mental health and things like that, so I hope it's nothing like that that kind of made him move on or kind of made the club fresh start, that kind of thing. If it is, I'm sure he knows that there's a lot of people at Bury that care about him, and that if he needs to know them, we're all here to talk to him if he needs it. Butterworth, for me, quality utility player, does a job, but then do you need kind of that utility player in your running? And then Burns, I really liked him. I thought he was rapid. Last couple of games probably could have been a bit better, but I think he was just starting to find a bit of form, and the whole team basically was off that last few games. So personally, in McNabb, we trust. So I trust McNabb to make those decisions. So that's what he's paid to do, isn't it? So we've got to kind of trust him and give him our support as well.
So this week's Shaker shout out is going to be the Share a Scarf Day. Hopefully listeners will have seen this on Facebook and on Twitter from the Shakers Together group. They are trying to encourage fans and unity together by sharing a scarf on camera at gig on Saturday, fingers crossed, subject to the pitch inspection. But the idea is that fans can come together holding a scarf at each side, having a picture taken at Gig Lane by professional photographers, and they'll get that photograph of themselves, whether that's with a friend who's a fan or another fan who they don't know. Everyone just trying to come together as one for this run-in for the last 6 games that we've got, hopefully all pulled together and get that promotion that we need. So this week's shout out is for them, and everyone, if you see them bobbing around with the scarves and the cameras, go down and get yourself a photograph. They'll be shared online afterwards. So thank you everyone for listening to episode 14 of the Mighty Shakers podcast from myself, Will and Tom. Fingers crossed the game will be on this weekend on Saturday with Inshore, and then we also have another game on Monday at Prestwich. So all of those who managed to get tickets, we'll see you there, and up the Shakers.